Hey folks, welcome in to Pro Football Ireland College Football Podcast, looking ahead to the NFL Draft. Delighted to be joined with the lads here, presented by the Aer Lingus College Football Classic. The Aer Lingus College Football Classic is Georgia Tech against Florida State, which takes place on the 24th of August this year in the Aviva Stadium. collegefootballireland.com for more information. If you can, folks, if you're interested in getting tickets, check out our link in our bio, linktr.ee/NFL Ireland, to buy tickets. We appreciate their support. Looking forward to getting down there and seeing the game this August. Let's talk a bit of college football. Let's talk a few lads that are going to make a bit of a splash in the NFL draft in Detroit, the 25th of this month. We've got two or three episodes looking ahead to different positions. And just having a bit of crack. Delighted to be joined in Belfast in the Deer's Head with Derek Harger. Connell digging all the way from Kerry up here. But I think he walked to... Did anybody see... I mean, maybe I'm getting too young here, too old here. Did any of you boys see that Sidemen YouTube where they were like,
oh, yes,
Galway?
It was a brilliant video.
It was 10 out of 10. I shouldn't be watching. That's what I'm
saying. They were in Galway while we were in college. And then we saw that they had just left by the time we realized they were here. We were so
disappointed. How does one even get from Kerry to Belfast? Like Dublin and then up?
Yeah, Dublin and then up, yeah. It was a long day yesterday. Two cancelled buses.
Yeah, I felt bad because I literally like the one day I wasn't using my phone. I was like, you think you're in the sticks? I was in Fermanagh. I looked at my phone and thought, oh, jeez, I need to help us a wee lad. But you're here now. That's all that matters. And we're going to talk about quarterbacks, running backs, I believe, Dara.
Yes.
We'll talk about quarterbacks in a second. You're very not down on running backs in this, but you're like, there's not much talent. Or is that your general viewpoint?
It's not
a standout in comparison to the recent years.
Well, I mean, I don't think we're ever going to see a running back taken second overall after Saquon Barkley didn't really, you know. I mean, he's obviously a top running back, but it's just the value of the position, you know, and we're seeing every year quarterbacks are just becoming more and more essential. If you have a quarterback, you're going to compete. If you don't have a quarterback, you don't have much of a chance. So, I mean, yeah, we are. Pound for pound, it is one of the better years for quarterbacks, one of the best years for quarterbacks.
Yeah.
And we don't really have that star running back. So, yeah, that's sort of where I lie there.
And I guess one of the worst things, it's the only negative about this, but I'm delighted you boys are here. I appreciate you boys coming. We're actually recording this on Easter Sunday. You came all the way up here. Dar, you came all the way from Collihanaby as well. Jeez, I appreciate it, lads. The thing as well is, Connell, there's only so much that we can predict here. So some of the things that we might say might not be relevant if there's different trades and stuff. But as of the day of recording, the NFL draft scheduled to take place in around 25 days with Chicago number one.
Yeah, not even their own pick, though. It's the Carolina Panthers pick. The thing is, they're trying to say who they're not going to pick, but we all know who they're going to pick.
Who's going to be there? Who's going to be?
It's going to be Caleb Williams, the quarterback from USC, been basically hyped up, basically since he was like a freshman at Oklahoma, sorry. And, you know, he went to Oklahoma. Oklahoma's head coach, Lincoln Riley, left to go to USC. He goes to USC with Lincoln Riley, wins the Heisman in his first year, plays well last year, but maybe not as well as people thought, left some doubt in people's minds. But I think the whole doubt thing in people's minds is just people trying to temper their expectations on him rather than, you know, what he is, which is what I had here is, you know, his floor is like a little bit better version of Kyler Murray. His ceiling is like a Josh Allen who's less powerful but more agile than Josh Allen is what I had for him.
Yeah, I mean, as a Packers fan, it worries me seeing someone of his caliber going to Chicago. Yeah, he seems to be the total package on the field in terms of, you know, he's just a video game kind of player is what I've put down for him. He can just throw off any platform. I don't want to scare people by saying he reminds me slightly of Bryce Young. I was very high on Bryce Young last year. I don't think he is, you know, people are labeling him, oh, he should never have been the number one overall pick. He was the number one QB in the majority of people's draft
he
boards.
He literally introed our draft night.
Yeah.
People had CJ Stroud as the QB3, and then people were like, I knew he was going to be better. It's like, you didn't know he was going
to
be better.
So when I say, I don't mean to, like, say that's a bad thing, that he reminds me of a stronger and a bigger Bryce Young, but that's what he is essentially. They both have that uncanny kind of ability of you could have two guys that are twice their size in their face and they're just gonna throw with one foot in the air and their arm facing backwards and they're just gonna throw a laser 40 yards. That's what Caleb Williams has been doing all through college. I really, really think there's no doubt in my mind that he's the number one QB in the class. I wouldn't go as far as to say best prospect we've ever seen. You know, I think that gets thrown around too loosely. I would have Trevor Lawrence ahead of him. I would have Andrew Luck ahead of him. Maybe not, no others, but yeah, that's kind of where he falls in the all-time.
Mahomesy with his off-balance throws as well. A guy that really performs extremely well under pressure. And if Chicago do pick him, Connell, they need somebody that if he's going to be under pressure, can perform. We've seen what happened with Justin Fields. Is there any scenario, do you think, that the Bears don't pick number one?
No, they're going to pick him. I think they're also helped by the fact that they have the pick number 9 as well, so they can use that for, it's going to be an offensive player they'll pick with that, whether it's, you know, a tight end, whether it's a wide receiver, or probably will be an offensive tackle, which, you know, is an insanely stacked class. I think there could be like 8 or 9 guys go in the first round from offensive line this year. So he's going to be better protected than what Fields was. I also think, you know, his offensive line in college was, you know, not great either. So he's kind of, not that he's used to it, and it's going to be a lot different when he plays in the NFL. But at least, you know, we know he can evade tackles, and it'll keep them more competitive than maybe what they would be with a guy who's more a pocket passer.
Touchdowns and Tato for you. Gotta talk about Drake May, lads. I actually didn't know that Drake May's like family are ridiculously athletic. His dad, Mark, played quarterback in North Carolina previously as a Tar Heel. His brother, Luke, was a 2-time All-ACC basketball player. I mean, there's high expectations for this. Like, have you any concerns about Drake May? Because I've seen people saying that his athletic ability is great, but it's not at the next level that people feel it needs to be at for him to succeed long-term in the NFL. Have you any sort of suggestions on if that's negative? Or?
Well, I think what he brings to the table is, he's your very prototypical franchise QB in that he's got the big frame, big arms, quick release. Yeah, there are bouts of inconsistency in his accuracy and things like that, but overall, he has the modern kind of build. The reality is, in my eyes, you're not going to find a Patrick Mahomes, and two, you're looking for a Josh Allen, and that's kind of what these teams are looking for. And so you mentioned the similarities between Caleb Williams and Josh Allen's game, and I think the same goes for Drake May. There are hints of it there. I think especially he encapsulates that. I think Nate Tice put it as a touch of chaos in his game, where, you know, he has times where he's evading the pocket and he pitches the ball with his left hand or does some crazy helicopter hurdle over someone, and he's capable of pulling them out of the bag. So yeah, I like May overall. He doesn't have the same consistent accuracy and maybe throw power as he doesn't have that same arm talent as Caleb Williams does, but yeah, I think he's a clear-cut number 2 to Washington.
Interesting you saying that, because Jeremy Fowler of ESPN reckons the Vikings are in a prime position to trade up, I think, from 11. I think
they're 11 and they have 23 or 21. Something
and
like.
They've literally, you know, apparently belief around the league that Minnesota could trade up and take a guy that they see as a perfect fit. He's the most upside, according to some execs in the league, of any quarterback in this draft. If you are Mr. O'Connell and Mr. GM for the Vikings, which I can't pronounce the surname, so I'm going to edit this part of the podcast out, or probably not at my
Kofi.
Point. Kofi. If you're Kofi, I mean, this has to be the year that Minnesota go heavily and get someone. If they've let go of Kirk Cousins, they have to go and be aggressive here, surely.
Yeah, and I think that they probably stand a better chance of doing it as well if he falls to the Patriots at 3, because I think the Patriots would want to pick him, but the thing with the Patriots possibly being able to pick him is that, you know, their offense is it's a bit of a mess at the moment, and they'd be throwing him basically in the deep end with no real weapon. It would be a Bryce Young situation last year, where he had a horrible offensive line, no one to throw to, no running game. You know, he's just been thrown in at the deep end, and then he'll struggle because of it. And, you know, you put him in Minnesota, where they have a solid offensive line. He'll have two really good receivers, arguably, you know, a top 3 receiver in Justin Jefferson as well. A good running back in Aaron Jones as well. I know Dara will like that.
That hurts.
But yeah, I think he'll do really well. And obviously Kevin O'Connell from the Sean McVay, you know, coaching tree as well, is going to be able to get the best out of him. You know, Dara mentioned, you know, he's a bit like Josh Allen. I had like a kind of, you know, the MVP season almost of Carson Wentz before his ACL
injury. Yeah,
that's
a really, really good comparison.
He's very, very similar to that. He's like more athletic than kind of what you give him credit for. Can roll out really good arm strength as well. He's kind of like that. A lot of people have been saying Justin Herbert, but he's more athletic than Justin Herbert as well.
I need up your pay, lads, on this analysis, honestly. Superb. Right, so do you boys think you'll go with
Second or third? I think Jane Daniels is kind of primed to go second overall.
We're going to talk about him in a second.
Yeah.
And his elbow.
Yeah.
Oh.
What is it? Burstitis
yeah,
in his elbow.
I don't even want to.
If you're Drake May, do you think Minnesota trades up?
I think Minnesota trades up. It could be any of May, Daniels, or McCarthy. We'll talk about
JJ in a minute. We'll talk about John Joe boys. Jaden Daniels, LSU Heisman winner. And if you're coming into college football for the first time, this guy won the Heisman. He's really good, folks. He's a transfer from Arizona State. He was unbelievable in the last year. Obviously, he won the Heisman Trophy, but he had the highest passer efficiency in a season in FBS history last year. He led the same in total yards per game, total touchdowns per game, and in yards per attempt and yards per rush. What is the team getting with Jaden Daniels, and who do you think is going to pick them up?
Well, you're getting a player who's just an absolute, like, he's a dog in terms of his...
D-A-W-G
D-A-W-G, just to keep
insert the video of the guy going, dog.
Yeah.
That's your TikTok reel.
That's your perfect way of describing Jaden Daniels. Listen, he's got... one of the best rushing talents we've seen since he's up there with Kyler Murray and Lamar Jackson. He's obviously a hint slower than Lamar, but it's such a massive area of his game and one where every single college defensive coordinator had to account for him on the ground. I like his arm talent overall. He throws pat. You can tell that he lacks that real, you know, bullet pass 40 yard in the line kind of ability. His passes sort of hang in the air a bit, but the accuracy's there. He's, in my opinion, he's like Lamar Jackson, but a bit slower. You'll take Lamar Jackson a bit slower. That's a two-time MVP. I'm really high on him. I'm higher than most are. I've seen people pushing for him for that first overall pick. I don't think that's going to happen. But yeah, as Connell said earlier, second place to Washington's definitely an area of conversation between Daniels and Drake May. So yeah, between those two players, I think Washington's going to get a fairly good chance at a franchise QB.
That's interesting. I'm really intrigued because we've heard for so long, Connell, about the sort of the regrouping and the restructuring of the Commanders as a whole franchise. And with Jeff Reinbold on his podcast last week, talked about how impressed he was with Dan Quinn, and I think he brought in Bobby Wagner. They're really trying to restructure that team, and they've admitted it's going to take time, but they have a real opportunity to bring in a guy here that could transform their franchise if it works out for them.
Yeah, and I think the one thing that I looked up last night, because I couldn't remember, you know, who was their new offensive coordinator, and it's Cliff Kingsbury, you know, the guy who you know, was pining.
Doesn't want a job the all time.
Pining for Kyler Murray, and he was actually, funnily enough, the offensive coordinator, or he was an offensive assistant for USC last year. So he obviously, you know, he knows a lot of these college guys. You know, Caleb Williams, unfortunately, won't fall to him, it looks like. But, you know, getting in a Jaden Daniels, who is kind of similar, like Dara said, to a Kyler Murray. You know, he knows what he likes in his quarterbacks, those spread style quarterbacks, which, you know, that clearly he thrives in as well. And, you know, I as Dara said, he definitely has some rough patches. I think, you know, he's good. He's kind of decent to good at a lot of things, but he's not like polished when it comes to his passing. I mean, we kind of saw again the same thing coming in with Lamar Jackson, and, you know, Dara's kind of right where he's not the same athlete that Lamar is, but he's going to be one of the best like running quarterbacks in the league. Like, he'll be top five in that pretty easily, without doubt.
One of the best parts about this whole draft season is the initial big board. And around the second, third week of January, Senior Bowl happens, and then after the Super Bowl, people are like, oh my God, we have nothing to talk about here for the next 2 months. And it's starting to build traction. There's a little flag there with a team on it, an orange flag, which Connell's going to hold up for people that, even though his podcast is in audio format, bar reels. I wonder, JJ McCarthy, it's all changed in Michigan. Obviously, Mr. Harbaugh is in LA. JJ is gone. We've seen in games that JJ McCarthy can go to an elite level. That Ohio State game is one example. it's obviously going to be interesting to see how Michigan themselves try and regroup this year with a completely different setup. But for JJ McCarthy, there is now whispers, talk around that he might be the second or third quarterback taken in this draft. Do you think that's cap, as you young men say, Dara, or do you think that could actually happen?
I don't think that is cap, no, as I've never said in my life. But
you never said cap? No,
no,
I mean, if it was
not
good
American.
Enough for Jalen Daniels, good enough for me, he said about his elbow, it's caps.
listen, I think JJ McCarthy is much more liked by NFL scouts than what the general public would give him credit for. They do really value that, first of all, winning in college and being in a winning culture and being a quarterback who can lead a team to a fully undefeated season and a national championship. That bears a lot more significance in the NFL than people who just are watching film and taking it on a play-by-play basis really account for. I do think, though, when you look at the tape, he isn't as impressive physically as the other players in this draft. He has a good arm, but it's not great. He had made some really boneheaded decisions. If you watched the Rose Bowl, which I told everyone to watch the week of, yes, he came out on top in that game. And again, that's what the NFL adjudicators are going to value that. But the first player or the first drive of that game, makes one of the worst decisions you could possibly make in a college football semifinal. Throws it into triple coverage. There was barely even a receiver in the area. Easy interception and automatically behind the eight ball. McCarthy is one of the better players, obviously, that Michigan have ever produced. I think he could do really big things in the NFL because he's so gifted from a mental standpoint. He's so sharp in terms of just focus and drive. And you hate bringing up Tom Brady, but he has that kind of will to win, kind of just
elite mentality.
Yeah, mentality. That's the word I'm looking for. Yeah. I think that's his strongest point and one that NFL teams really value.
You're talking about how impressed you are with his sort of composure there. I was very impressed, Colin, with how he spoke to Rich Eisen during the NFL Combine. Obviously, Rich Eisen's going to be a wee fanboy because he's a big Michigan boy. But as you sit there as a Broncos fan, putting your Broncos hat on for a minute, seeing a lot of draft or mock drafts this week talk about, you know, potentially going up. Sean Payton has openly admitted he'd be up for doing it. You got New England there at 3. You've got Arizona at 4. You've got flirtation there. And it's something that we might, and this is the problem of pre-recording, it's something that we might not see until that Thursday, the 25th. It's something we could see beforehand as well.
I think with that fourth overall pick, Mark Hogan and Jason Hayes are licking their chops seeing how many draft picks they can get for it, because it looks like there could be four quarterbacks going at the top of the draft. But I think what makes JJ McCarthy interesting is he'll go as far, I think, as a coach, you know, takes him. He'll be a really good quarterback if he gets a really good coach who can coach him, you know, like a Sean Payton, like a Kevin O'Connell could do for him. But I also think, we don't really know what he's going to be. I saw someone basically compare him to, like, a ball of clay. Like, he can be kind of whatever you want him to mold him into to be. Like, it's not like he's like, okay, this guy's a pocket passer, this guy's, you know, a rushing threat or anything like that. He's kind of solid but not great at anything. And, you know, you can obviously develop those things if you're a really good coach. And, you know, as you said with him, like, yeah, he showed up in the big moments, but he never really had one game where he had to, you know, go and, you know, go shot for shot with another quarterback just because. And granted, that's not, you know, fully his fault, because the running game for them was so good last year. The defense was the best in the country, to where, you know, if they scored 3 touchdowns, they basically already won the game. So it was, you know, not a whole lot of his fault, but it did maybe damage us being able to see him and stops us from, you know, being able to see what can he really be. I mean, he had a game against Penn State where in the second half he didn't attempt a single pass, you know, so he's going to be really interesting. I have him, like, his low is, like, you know, he'll bounce around a bit like Sam Darnold has the last few years. His high is maybe like a Jared Goff. Like, you know, like Jared Goff has had his ups and downs, but this year was a huge up for him. Like, you know, one of the better quarterbacks in the league this year. So if he reaches that, I think you'd be fairly happy with what you have at your quarterback.
Absolutely. Any other customary mentions? Bo Nix, Michael Penix Jr., anything you want to say about these gents? Bo Nix, sloppy mechanics on the field, apparently. IQ on the field, his decision-making needs to improve, was what I was told.
Well, he's
an incredible generator of strengths and weaknesses.
He's had plenty of time to figure that out. Bo Nix is, I think,
I think his first game in college, I didn't even have a Twitter account during his first game.
Really?
He has been there for a long, long time.
He has the most starts ever.
Yeah, 61. Started at Auburn against Oregon, who he ended up with. That was a really big primetime week one game about 6 years ago at this point. So
first game, 2019.
2019.
Using that COVID exemption.
Yeah, yeah. He has been there quite a while. So I think teams will value his experience. He's kind of got backup, like, you know, long-term backup option written all over him. It's tough to see where he can grow. Like, it's tough to see a ceiling on him, or a ceiling should be fairly limited because of, you know, he's 24. He's been in that system for so long.
He's married, lads. Yeah, he's putting you boys to shame here. Like, I mean, like, you're 3 years off at this point now, lads. Jesus. Well, this lad looks like he's in his late 30s.
Yeah, he is. He is quite an old guy. I'll also just touch on Michael Penix Jr. He is a left-handed QB, which is odd. And you don't really see that.
Every comparison you see for him is like, it has to be a left-handed quarterback.
Oh, Michael Vick.
Yeah, you're like it's either Michael Vick, Steve Young, and you're like, he's like not even an athlete. Like, he can't run.
To be fair, he clocked an outrageous 40-yard dash time at his pro day the other day. I can't remember the exact figure, but it was like 4.5 something, and I was floored because he looks like Big Ben.
I think they might have been a little early on the stop clock. Like, they can't be at those pro days. I think there was a story of a cornerback from Georgia, Kamari Lassiter, and every NFL team had him like at a 4.6 or something like that, and then the Georgia Pro Day official thing said like a 4.4 or 4.5.
Yeah, they're boosting up their guys there. Helps the recruiting and feeds the machine, so you can't really blame them.
It's going to be interesting to see sort of if you sort of look at those quarterbacks generally, which direction they go in. And, you know, obviously we all expect Caleb Williams to go first, but from then, I hope we're sitting on the Thursday going, Jesus, who's next? I really hope that, because that, you want that. Watch the draft at 1:30 in the morning, boys. Will we be live? We don't know yet. We'll let people know. I'll ask my wife. Can I stay up late? Look, is there any running back that you boys want to look at in detail? I mean, you've got guys like Jonathan Brooks, Blake Corum, Buck Yervin, Jalen Wright. Is there any standout DAR that you'd like us to look at?
Yeah, well, we can talk about a couple each. I want to start with Jalen Wright. He's maybe my favorite player in this entire draft class.
Really?
Squirrel.
I'm not going to say he's the best player because he's not. He's a fringe first rounder in my eyes, but oh my God, he's so underrated. I think, first of all, in the pre-draft testing, he blew up the test and he was unbelievable. Did everything that they exactly wanted from him. But then on the field, the film is incredible on him. He's so well balanced in everything he does. He's a real like upright and kind of skinny runner. He reminds you of Jahmyr Gibbs in that he does carry weight. He's surprisingly heavy, but when you look at him on the field, he's kind of tall and skinny. And so when you're running in between the tackles, you're just flying through guys, and there are such tiny little holes that he's being able to squeeze through. The contact balance is there. He can do it as a receiver. He has some really nice contested catches too. And then the other big sticking point for running backs is pass protection. That's somewhere where they really struggle to transfer from the college game to the NFL. Wright has done that plenty of times, protecting for Milton and for Hendon Hooker last year at Tennessee. So I've really no concerns whatsoever in Jalen Wright's game, and for me, he's the number one running back in this draft.
I've seen people say he's a potential early day two future starter, and a guy Connell that, as Dara said, so you got the names mixed up already. As Dara said, has that experience with Tennessee. He has the experience and the ability to make explosive plays, and we've seen times last year where he has just exploded. I think there's been various plays where he's just been a freak.
Yeah, I think we covered like 2 or 3 Tennessee games last year. I think but before the season, I was kind of just looking through names to either look out for or just some like funny names, and then I just saw Squirrel Wright and I was like, this guy can't be anything. And then I watched some of like his plays, and the way he runs as well is just amazing to watch. Like, he hits the hole and he just keeps like accelerating. Like, he doesn't seem to slow down at any point. He's really fun to watch. One of the guys I wanted to highlight, actually, and it's weird because he's, you know, usually when you're talking about a running back you like, you're going for, oh, this guy's going to be, you know, a bell cow running back, or he's going to be a starter. I don't think this guy's actually going to be a starter, but for what he is, I think he's really good. And I really like Will Shipley from Clemson. He's just one of the best athletes as well, like that Dara talked about. You know, Dara, I know he really loves his RAS, relative athletic score.
Go Paco. And
can you guess who he kind of similarly graded out to?
Shipley, he's got to be in that Aaron Jones category. Or
no, he's...
He was beat at the combine? Or
yeah, he actually compared very kindly to Reggie Bush.
Oh, that's not a bad one.
Yeah.
He
compared really well to Reggie Bush. Kind of, I think he's a bit taller and a little bit heavier, but like all his numbers were around the same. He was a small bit slower, but he's really good, like pass catching, running back. He'll do a lot of damage out from the back. I think, you know, you're thinking of, what's his name, used to play for the Chargers, Danny Woodhead.
He's
kind of similar to him, a little bit less physical, but if you get him, you know, receiving out of the backfield, he's going to cause a lot of problems. I'd recommend, if you're playing a bit of fantasy football, just pick him up and throw him on the reserves, or maybe get him in a waiver claim at some point later in the season.
Danny Woodhead playing golf that apparently full time, you know?
Yeah, I saw that.
He was actually up for coming to Dublin for pints, and I was like, should we sell out Danny Woodhead? We probably could. We'll do it. Yeah, we got it. We're obviously presented by the Erlingus College Football Classic. A guy from Florida State, Trey Benson. A guy that, look, if you're looking at teams that need a running back, Dallas Cowboys. That's a guy that has a 4.39 speed in the combine on the 40-yard rush. Quick cut ability between tackles. He's very, very tough to bring down in close quarters. Big play. Betting favorite at the minute to be the first running back off the board.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's going to be Benson and Jonathan Brooks are the two names that we haven't mentioned that are sort of the consensus top two in this draft. I know we've strayed away from that a little bit, but yeah, they are probably the most natural running backs in the literal sense of, you know, they don't provide any kind of special unique abilities, but they're both really quality running backs, and we're at two blue chip programs in college football. Yeah, Benson's a great pass protector as well. That's one of his strongest assets. And then just also on Jonathan Brooks, he's coming off a torn ACL.
November as well, quite recently.
So that's going to be one of the main things hindering him. He was obviously behind both Bijan Robinson and Roschon Johnson 2 years ago. So he only really had 1 year to shine and ended up tearing an ACL. So he kind of has been very, very limited. But in a way, that's a good thing in the NFL. They like these low mileage guys. You would see some running backs, for example, off the top of my head, Antonio Gibson wasn't even a running back in college. He was a wide receiver. They like these guys who have less overall mileage across college football.
So they can run them into the ground.
So they can run them into the ground. Essentially, it works inversely to every other position where they want to see guys who could produce at college level. If you couldn't produce at college level, I mean, one that doesn't get talked about is Josh Jacobs. He was running back three for his entire last season at Alabama. He was the third string running back until the playoff, when Alabama and Saban were like, oh wait, this guy's actually really good. He had a few good games. I don't know if they won the national championship that year. That might have been the year they lost to Clemson. But they got to the national championship final, and Jacobs ends up going in the first round, becomes a star running back in the NFL. So there's a real correlation between low mileage running backs and success in the league, because as Colin says, they like to run these guys into the ground, and when they come asking for a second contract, it doesn't really pay out too heavily.
I just want to throw one last thing in there, actually, is that running back for the national championship, Blake Corum, everyone knows where he's going. If he does not somehow end up on the Los Angeles Chargers with Jim Harbaugh as head coach, there's something gone completely wrong. Someone picked him first overall before Jim Harbaugh can get him. That's the only way it happens.
Imagine if Harbaugh has his way, he'll have JJ McCarthy backing up Herbert next year.
Imagine that. Like, I mean, don't tell me, where are the Chargers picking in this draft, lads? They're picking
fifth? Very early, but he's not going to go fifth. It'll be way, way down.
They'll pick a wide receiver.
I mean, obviously Herbert's got the extension. It's not going to happen. No. It's just like...
No offense
to JJ McCarthy. You're not giving up Justin Herbert for JJ McCarthy.
No, but Harbaugh will get his guys in. I think he could get the defensive lineman. We'll talk about in the defensive podcast, but I think Jenkins, he's a good candidate to go to. It feels like all the aside from McCarthy, all the star players at Michigan in this draft are at positions of need for the Chargers.
Roman Wilson is a
good example at receiver. So yeah,
I love it. It's one final thing on Brooks. Obviously, because he tore the ACL, he can't take part in any of these days. Now it's going to be interesting to see if he maybe falls a little bit because of that. So he gets a bit of, just a wee bit of value there. We'll
see. Yeah, you could get value in him. I know we've talked about every single running back almost, but Braylon Allen is another one out of Wisconsin. Feels like he's slightly gone off the boil. He was a massive name in college football in his first year because he was 17 years old and he had like a 1,000-yard season. He is built like an absolute brick house. I've never seen... He was the first...
Shit house there,
he was the really first player younger than me. And he is younger than me right now, as far as I'm aware. That really hit home because he was the first athlete at any level where I was like, oh my God, he's younger than me and he looks like that.
Welcome to my world, mate.
Yeah, so I'm not looking forward to drafts for many years to come when all these players are younger than me. But yeah, Braylon Allen, huge, huge player. He reminds me a little of like a more elusive AJ Dillon. And he has, you know, all the ability in the world to pass protect because he's enormous. But he's a pretty natural runner, great contact balance. He's not an easy man to take down in the open field.
Appreciate you boys going through the quarterback running back class there for the draft, which takes place on the 25th of April. Presented by the Erlingers College Football Classic. You can get tickets now, linktr.ee/NFL Ireland. Have a blessed day, folks. Goodbye.